Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. Got me Pudge in the house.
Steph Swick in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Oh, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up the game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's
Carl
Talk with his radio, conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swick, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic, discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe big things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome back to another edition of Cross Talk Radio. I'm Steph Swig.
This is your boy Big Pudge.
And we in the building. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to another edition. Thank you so much. Thank you. It was worth it. Thank you for tuning in. Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you. I appreciate it. Alright, real quick, people, before we get started, we got a good topic for you, but I want to remind people to hit us on crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you if there's any topics you want us to discuss, because this is not just about us getting stuff off our chest or just going by the wind, how we feel that day, what we talk about. We try to put out topics that people want to hear, people have asked questions about, so we want to reach you where you are. And it's a discussion, like it's an informational thing. So if you have any new information or something that you want us to talk about, or something we said that you didn't necessarily agree with, or if you like the show, you don't like the show, you know, give us your feedback. We really want to hear from you. We're an interactive based show, so hit us back on crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com, or also these podcasts, once we release them, you can go back and listen to any podcast you want on crosstalk.buzzsprout.com. That's crosstalk with a K. buzzsprout.com. If you want to see your favorite episodes over and over and over, they're always there. They don't go anywhere. So don't feel like just because you missed the episode that you cannot catch it. It's designed to be there for whenever you need it, whether you're working out at the gym, on a long road trip, wherever you want to listen to it, we're here, baby. So hit us up. Talk to us. Let us know what you think of the show. Know what you like, what you don't like. New topics, old topics you want to see brought up and talked about in more depth. That's great. It's because we're here to help you and be here for you. All right, moving on. This one's going to be about suicide. And I see a lot of people talking about it's a lot of confusion when it comes to suicide. Does it send you to hell? If you commit suicide, does it send you straight to hell? Or is that forgiving? It's a great topic because a lot of people are chiming in on it when we put it online. Also, hit us up on Crosstalk on Facebook. Hit us up on Crosstalk and let us know what you thought. We always put these questions on Crosstalk before we talk about them because we like to relay everyone's opinion. Just a diverse view, not just Pudge and Swig's view all the time.
Right.
And so anyway, being that said, you know, we're going to talk about the suicide, whether it sends you to hell or is it forgiven if you're saved. But before we get into that, I want to say suicide is a dangerous thing. It's a serious thing, and it's plaguing us, and it's not a good thing when people commit suicide. So if there's anyone dealing with suicidal thoughts or you know anybody, I want to go ahead and put this suicide hotline out there. It's open 24/7. Both numbers. I give you two different numbers here. Either one is good. 1-877-743-4672, 1-877-743-4672, or 1-800 273-8255. These people are here 24 hours a day to talk to you. I mean, we know life gets hard, and sometimes suicide seems like the best option, but it's not the best option ever. That's coming from someone who's dealt with depression and suicidal thoughts. And what suicide does is just tell you you're giving up on every chance of it getting better. And that's there's no judgment if that's how you feel, but at least talk to someone first, because sometimes life just gets heavy. We need a shoulder to cry on or someone to talk to. So just remember those numbers. Write them down. If you have people that deal with depression and anxiety, the worst case scenario is them committing suicide. So make sure you pass that number along to anybody that you feel is necessary. If you're dealing with suicidal thoughts, pass it on. All right, Pudge, man. Let's dive into this topic, man. So the question is, if a person commits suicide, do they go to hell because they committed suicide and they can't repent from suicide? Or do they? Or is that included in the forgiveness of sins? I got a lot of information on that, Pudge. But if you guys said you want to jump in, you can go.
I was reading an article on Bible.org, and you know, I'm just gonna read what you know one of the things says. It says it starts off saying, while suicide is sin, so you know, pretty much lets you know that's what they feel. It is not the unpardonable sin. The only unpardonable sin is the attributing the miraculous works of the Holy Spirit in Jesus or Satan, which you can find in Mark 3:20-30. This blog actually says also says, while suicide is a sin, it is easier to understand why a Christian would consider suicide than it is to grasp why an unbeliever would do so.
Wow, I want to hear this.
Yeah. At best, the unbeliever who commits suicide enters into an uncertain future. Little do they know that they are actually entering into a state of eternal separation from God. Knowing the glorious future that awaits the Christian, a believer might reason that it is better to escape the trials and tribulations of his life and enter into the eternal joy in the presence of our Lord.
I'm no longer offended by that statement now. Right. Okay, makes sense. I just want to stand for a Christian who want to commit suicide. What's that mean? I get it now. I get it. All right.
Presence of our Lord. Right.
Oh, man. All right, man. So, right off the bat, let's go ahead, since we're going to talk about suicide, let's define suicide, because the common argument is this. Suicide is murdering yourself. And, of course, the Bible says murder is a sin. Do not murder. Thou shalt not commit murder.
Right.
Okay, and so I'm going to define the two, because people equate murdering yourself as suicide.
So you want to get a definition of suicide?
And murder.
Okay, cool.
So
cool.
Murder, the definition that we're using, or the definition that people are using as murder, means the unlawful, premeditated killing of one human being by another. Okay? The suicide, the act or instance of taking one's own life. So I understand how people can get that. I'm not saying suicide is better or worse than murder. However, they're two different things. If it's the same thing, it wouldn't be two different definitions.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be two different words. It would be murder.
That's right.
Or a different type of murder. But it says suicide is an active instance of taking one's own life. That means killing yourself. A murder is killing someone else. So actually, the Bible doesn't technically say thou should not kill yourself. It says thou should not kill, or thou should not murder. It doesn't even say thou should not kill. It says thou should not commit murder.
Right. Period.
Because kill and murder are two different things.
Right. Exactly.
Murder is premeditated killing of one human being. Killing someone is totally different. Like, you know, because the Bible talks about wars, and you know, and people get killed in wars, and that's depending on how you study that, whether that's murder or just killing in self-defense or whatever. So that's totally different.
Right.
So anyway, that's another topic in itself. But either way, murder and suicide technically are two different definitions. So if you're going by just that alone, it says the Bible is strictly speaking about murdering someone else, killing yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, killing someone versus killing yourself. I don't think they're the same thing. I'm not saying one is more wrong than the other in that sense, but I'm just saying specifically, technically speaking, the Bible doesn't specifically say that with those commandments.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I got more scriptures to back up my thinking on these levels, but if you got any things, your face is looking
good. Go ahead. I want you to actually get them scriptures, because you know, we got people that right now where that's the first thing they want to know is what scriptures do you have to back that up what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying, that's definition. Suicide and murder is they have two different definitions. One's killing yourself, one's killing someone else.
Right.
The Bible specifically doesn't say don't kill yourself, although I think it would support not killing yourself, being that when you get saved, your body belongs to God at that point. So that would be a violation by that in itself.
Now, you know, you have a lot of people out here who feel like that, you know, there are scriptures that say, you know, committing, like, killing yourself will send you straight to hell.
See,
and I'm actually looking right now because, you know,
if you have one.
I'm looking because I didn't per se see one.
Okay.
You know, which is the reason why I'm like researching it now, because I'm like.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I'm excited, man. I've been doing this research like all week. Boy, I'm pumped up. But listen though. And I believe I know where it comes from because I can't say I know where it comes from because everybody's different. I believe I know where that thinking comes from. For one, I want to clear this up because people say the Bible says repent daily. The Bible doesn't say, I looked that up, the Bible does not specifically say repent daily. But what hangs on that, people, is what hangs on it, Pudge, and everybody else out there listening, when people say suicide is the murder of self, you can't repent from murder. True.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got the word that's hanging in the...
It says suicide is murder itself and you can't repent from murder?
Yeah, it's saying murder... You can repent from. You repent from murder.
Okay.
It says suicide is murdering yourself, so you can't repent from it. So that's why people think you go to hell if you commit suicide.
Okay.
All right. Now, I'm going to explain this with scriptures and my opinion and all that mixed in there, and everybody can decipher for themselves. At the end of the day, I hope that no one ever would find out whether you go to hell or heaven if you commit suicide, because we shouldn't be committing suicide anyway.
Right.
However, okay, here it is right here. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So, but I got it back. I got ahead of myself on there because the word I want to dive in on is repent.
Okay.
And see, and I can understand why it's confusing because repent and repentance are, it's the same base word, but at the same time, it's used in different contexts in different areas of the Bible. All right.
Now, can you tell people, for those who don't know what the word repent means?
Yes, because I wrote that down.
Okay, because I know what it means. Some people just may not know what repent means, so we're saying that word, and they might be like, what does it mean?
Y'all might hear me flipping pages, because I got a bunch of notes on this one. All right, repent means... Oh, my God, now I can't find it. You don't put me on the spot. Okay, repent. I'll say this.
I got it. Okay.
Repent, it depends on who you're talking to, but the definition of repent is... remorseful. So remorseful is like basically when you get convicted by the Holy Spirit and you're feeling remorseful and you want to turn away from your sins.
I just want to say that the two words you just said,
remorse,
turn away. No, yeah. Turn away. No, mm-hmm. Repent actually means to turn away. So it's pretty much like to turn away and then never come back. I just wanted to make sure you said those.
No. I'm sorry. That's my personal definition. I'm sorry. I found my definition. Actually, I'm going to tell you right here. But let me finish because it's a lot more to it. Repent means to feel sincere regret or remorse. That's repent. That's what it means. That's the act of, that's actually feeling.
And that's like the Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah, right? I looked at the biblical, and it's a little bit more to that.
Okay.
But the biblical, I looked at the biblical dictionary. It didn't have the word repent, it had the word repentance. But I'm going to talk about repent for a minute. It says to feel sincere regret or remorse, okay?
Okay.
Repentance, it says, that divinely wrought conviction of sin in the heart that the soul is guilty before God that results in turning away of sin and change of mind. And it says also about change of mind about sin and a change in heart and attitude. Okay? You see what I'm saying? You follow
mm-hmm.
me so far?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's great. The word repent is actually, we know the New Testament was translated in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the repent in the New Testament that they're talking about, when they say repent, not repentance, but repent
mm-hmm.
in the New Testament, the word is actually metanoia, metanoai. And that actually means, literally, it means the change of mind, renewed thinking, regret, remorse, of change of heart. But the first part of that means renewed thinking, change of mind. And I think when people talk about Christ says you need to repent, it means a change of mindset. It doesn't mean like you just, that's not the repentance part they're talking about right there. It says to be saved, to be repent. He said when the guy's talking about he want to be born again, he said he had to repent and be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Repent means a change of mindset, to be thinking more like kingdom mind, like God things.
Mm-hmm.
Change your mindset. But obviously, if you're changing your mindset, you're going to turn away from these sins. You're going to change your mindset.
Because I feel like it's both. It's changing your mindset and turning away from.
But when it says Montaneo, it's like renewing your mind, thinking of godly things, not just your sinful nature, but just being more godly and acting every way. And just changing your mindset. Like if you... changing lifestyle, like if you have bad eating habits and you change your mindset and that, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, repent means to change your mindset, renewed thinking. So of course that makes sense because the Bible says when you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ. So that means you're being born again and you're a new creature because you're changing your mindset,
right.
Thus changing your heart, changing
right.
your mind. But that's not required to stay saved. Like, you, once you're saved, you're saved, in my opinion. I'm gonna go with scriptures on that. Right. But that's repent, y'all. Montaneo, repent. Look it up in the dictionary. Look it up. Whatever you got to do. I've done a lot of research on that. But repentance is different. Repentance, you cannot be saved without repentance. The act of repentance, which means divinely wrought conviction of the sin of the heart. That's when that divinely wrought conviction comes on for people who are believers. Mm-hmm. That's when you're feeling like you need to be saved. That's the moment when you realize that, wow, I'm living a life of sin. I need to change. Mm-hmm. And that's when it says that the soul is guilty before God. That's when you know, like, God, okay, I'm guilty. I've received your salvation. But there was no salvation without acknowledging that. So it's not like, because I know people always say, well, if you believe in Christ Jesus as your Savior, then mm-hmm. you're saved. But it's more to it than just the believing that he died on the cross and rose on the third day. It has to be repentance takes place. That's that conviction that comes place. That means it has to be an active change in your heart. You cannot be saved. Literally, you cannot be saved and continue with the same mindset and the same lifestyle you was living before you got saved.
Or is, now see, you say that, but, okay, so let me ask you a question. Now, when it comes to people, and I'm poverty-stricken people who they feel a conviction in their heart, and they have the in their heart, you know, they feel a conviction and they cry out to God to change them. So God saves them right then and there. That's just the beginning of a long haul journey.
Yes,
but they're where they live is still very infested in what they were trying to come in. So what happens, like, when a person relapses? Like, because you know how it is. When someone gets saved, they constantly need to be poured into it and built.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me get off topic here, but okay.
Well, I wasn't even trying to get off topic. It was just that when you said, like the person, you said it can't be saved unless, like, repentance is in their heart.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
In my opinion, and by the scripture, it's saying, because you're already being convicted. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what leads you to being saved, really being saved. Because, you know, there's been times I said the salvation prayer and didn't mean it because there was no repentance.
Right.
So I'm saying you cannot literally be saved without the repentance. That means, you know, you acknowledge your soul is guilty and you turn away from sin. And here's the part I'm talking about right here, the evidence right here. So it says, turn away from sin and change of mind about sin and change in heart and attitude. My point is, I'm not saying you don't struggle once you get saved, but your attitude and your mindset does change, your heart changes.
But it does change, but my thing is, it's almost, and I'm really thinking about somebody that's highly addicted to something. Like, it's a stronghold. So although their heart and mind wants to change and is changing, that stronghold been with them for a long time. So, you know, being saved is new.
Yeah.
Stronghold old. So I'm feeling new, but I go right back now even though I have the mindset. Let's say 2 weeks in, I'm right back to where I was. Like, does it still make that person fake saved now because they went right
not
back
at all.
To what they?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
My opinion does not make that, because that's why the Bible says renew your mind. Mm-hmm. And And also the part, the repentance, that part I'm talking about repentance in this sense right here. Mm-hmm. When I'm saying repentance, it's talking about that's necessary to be saved.
Gotcha.
When they're talking about repenting constantly, it's talking about constantly being that mindset of your renewed heart, of your new life, constantly reminding yourself and making those thought patterns. That's what I'm talking about when it says repentance. A repentance is a constant. Sorry, it's the same word, but it's two different definitions.
Gotcha.
But repentance at the beginning of salvation is the one that convicts you of sin, and that's when that change takes place inside of you. Mm-hmm. And when it says be repentant or repent constantly or repent daily, when it's talking about that kind of stuff, it's constantly renewing your mindset, actively walking in that. So that's the process I'm talking about. So if that's the case when you got saved in the beginning, it wouldn't be no need for you to constantly repent consistently throughout the rest of your journey, constantly renew your mind, constantly reminding yourself who you are and who you are. That's what I'm saying. So, of course, when you get saved, it depends on how late you got saved. If you've been saved living like a heathen or a drug addict for 50 years, it's going to be a process. Some people can get healed right away. Some people don't.
Right.
But it's still a process.
Right.
So God doesn't expect you when you get saved that you just stop everything you're doing. It doesn't drop off that way. Mm-hmm. It's a process. You got to learn to trust him. You got a new relationship, like you're in a relationship with a husband and wife when y'all get together. You know, y'all are growing and learning each other where you can trust each other at.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, the relationship has to develop. So I can't tell people, if I got just saved instantly, it was no struggle. There's no journey. The Bible calls it a journey for a reason. So it's not like when you get saved, all that stuff goes away.
Right.
But as you grow and learn and grow in your relationship with God, that conviction, I think conviction of sin in certain areas comes stronger than to the point where you don't want to do it anymore. Like, you know, and that repentance is not like you have to, it's not you doing this to stay saved. You're doing this because you're being to maintain your deliverance, and you're also doing this because it's a relationship. When you sin, it doesn't send you to hell no more once you get saved.
Right.
I'm not saying go out and willfully sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you sin, it doesn't send you to hell. It affects your relationship, though. It will put a strain on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just like this. Here's what I'm trying to say in a long way, apparently. But it's like, you got kids, right?
Yeah.
You love your kids, right?
Sure.
You tell them what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they do, if they do wrong, are they still your kids?
Of course.
Same thing with salvation.
Right.
No matter what happens,
that's good.
No matter what happens, we're still God's kids. Once you get saved and reconciled with the Father through Jesus Christ as your Savior, no matter what you do, you are still His child. The Bible specifically says there's only one sin that's unpardonable, and that's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And what they mean by that is calling Holy Spirit acts satanic acts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. It's not even using God's name in vain. Jesus tells you what the sin that He says you can blaspheme against Him all day, but He talks about the one sin that you can't be forgiven from is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, saying that God's miracle works are of the devil.
Right.
So be careful with that, people.
Right.
So I'm moving on. So here we go again. John 1:19. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's what that means when I'm talking about repentance. Have a repentance heart. It means constantly repent. Repentance means to constantly renew your mind, change your mind, change your life. Simple. Same thing with those people. Think about those people that are addicted to alcohol and they go through the alcoholic analysis class. When they go out, they have to do things to continue to maintain the sobriety.
Right.
Same thing with repentance. That's constantly being mindful of where you came from, what you brought from. So do not go back there, change your mind. It's the same thing that got you there. It gets you right back there. But same thing gets you out. You got to change your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What it boils down to. It said, and also it says, the Bible talks about, here it is right here. I'm going to read. Can you talk for a minute? You got anything on it real quick before I get further?
I mean, mine might be a little lengthy.
You know, go for it. Mine was lengthy. Because I got some scripture I want to read, but while I'm getting to them, I'll let you.
And mine is, I guess I'm going to be super deep on this one right here because so far in everything that I've read, I've only looked at two websites and were very informative on this. And both websites, one website said suicide is a sin, and it kind of confused me because it said suicide is a sin. But then it said the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy.
Yeah.
So that kind of don't make sense to me. Well, it makes sense because you didn't say suicide is an unforgivable sin.
Yeah, it's a sin. It's not unforgivable.
Yeah, the other website I looked at, the person stated that it is wise to just not end your own life. Like to look at suicide as you look at murder.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say that blasphemy is the only unforgivable sin. So he said, is suicide a sin? In his eyes, no, because it's forgivable. Like, so how do you go to hell?
Well, it's still a sin, though.
It's still a sin. But how do you? He's like, it's unforgivable. That was his whole point. So here's mine. And you know, to the folk that's real deep, I'ma catch you real good. To the folks that's don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go way over your head.
But we'll bring it back around.
Hopefully you can understand it and get it, because if you don't understand stronghold, demons, and stuff like that, then it's going to go over your head. So here's
Let's go.
You have someone, I'm going to say average 5 years old. Now, they come from a lineage of depression. So let me start off by saying this. It is in my opinion that people that have suicidal tendencies or have suicidal thoughts. And in my opinion, the root of that is depression. And it started from depression and just grew with them. So for people who don't understand, strongholds start off as incorrect spirits that are implanted in you, engrafted in you, however the case may be. It may come from your ancestors. It may come from your childhood, your teenage life, whatever the case may be. Everybody has an incorrect spirit that lies within them. When it starts, let's say 5 years old, something happened to you. 5 years old, you was molested by your uncle. That's an incorrect spirit that literally was put on you. You absolutely not your fault at all whatsoever. But at 5 years old, now you're 35, and you have been struggling with depression ever since that happened. You are saved. You do know God. But at the same time, that incorrect spirit has now turned into a complete stronghold. It's a strong man because it grew up with you. It made sure you were going to stay depressed in and out of your entire life. So you know the word. However, you came into the word at the age of 20, and now you're 35. But this depression has been with you since 5. So you're just now starting to learn the word. You're starting to grow in him, yet you feel like there is nothing on this planet that can take away depression. So you finally get to the point where you can't take it anymore, and you end your life. I honestly do not feel like the loving God that we serve would send someone to hell because initially, and let's just be honest, because they could not get delivered. They were not strong enough to get delivered over depression that hit them as a child. And now they're 30-something years old and went ahead and took their life. I believe with everything that I am, at the end of the day, God ultimately looks at the intent of your heart. And if the intent of your heart was to never want to be depressed, to never want to go through the things you went through, and to never want to be like that, but you drowned yourself in it because you didn't know how and took your life, I think at the end of the day, God's going to look at your heart and not look at the actual act that you caused. Like, especially if it's somebody, well, if it's someone who, you know, just tired of life. They ain't never been through nothing. You know what I'm saying? They just want to find an easy way out, just end themselves. You know what I'm saying? And then your mindset is like, well, shoot, if I go ahead and take my life, you know what I'm saying? Such and such and get $100,000 for this. And you know what I'm saying? I ain't got to worry about paying these bills and doing that. It's almost like a selfish mindset. God going to look at the intent of your heart on why you did that. It's versus somebody who dealt with depression all their lives. And because you couldn't, or you did not, because everybody in my eyes, you can get healed or delivered from whatever you're going through. But because you were not strong enough to get rid of a stronghold that has been with you for 15, 20 years, I don't think God will send you to hell because you decided it would just be best. Because that's torment. Mm-hmm. That's torment. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's relationship issues, you having struggles in there. A lot of people that are molested by the same sex wind up dating the same sex and enjoying it, thinking it's a turn on, but it's a whole incorrect spirit as a whole. So that is my opinion when it comes to killing yourself, you know what I'm saying? And my whole point is I believe God looks at the intent of the heart. He looks at your situation. He looks at when the incorrect spirit got in you from the first time, all the way to the times he tried to help you up until you took yourself up out of here. And I think he kind of like lays all that out on the table and makes his executive decision on where you should be after that.
All right. I got a lot to add on that, too. I agree with you. Okay. I have some scriptures I want to share, but I want to say, I want to get back on the repentance, because people say the Bible says repent daily. That's not in the Bible, actually. Like I said before, It's a mindset. When I say the Bible's talking about repenting, have a repentant heart, It's talking about a mindset change. Constantly remind yourself to think godly. That doesn't mean every time you sin, you got to go to God for forgiveness because it's already finished. Mm-hmm. It's like when Christ died on the cross, you're forgiven. And when you accept him as your God, you're forgiven. So it's kind of hard to maintain a relationship if you constantly ask for forgiveness over every single thing, everything that you do, everything that you do wrong. So I just want to bring this up real quick, because I want to bring some logic to this right here. I know we share a lot of scriptures with you, and I got some more scriptures I want to share. But I want y'all to understand, like, that's where I think the misunderstanding comes in, when people think they have to constantly repent of their sins daily. In a way, they think it means constantly asking for forgiveness for the sins. The word repent does not mean asking for forgiveness. It's we have a remorseful attitude towards the sins. So if I sin, I can have a remorseful attitude and try to get away from it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, most people I know that are, well, a lot of people, are, I can't say most people. Some people I know that are saved, if we fall, we sin, we feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. It's when you're not feeling bad about it, that's the problem. That's when it's not repenting.
Right.
And you're not willing to change or try to change. Right. All right, now, with that being said, by the same logic people use when they're talking about, well, you can't repent from murder, okay? In a sense, you can repent from murder, but you can't repent from murdering yourself because you're dead, obviously, right?
Right.
That same logic, this is where it hangs up. This is where it doesn't make any sense. Say you go to work, because what they're saying is you didn't ask for forgiveness for that one sin, basically, and now you're going to hell,
right?
Because you're dead.
Right.
So say you go to work and you're late, and your boss asks you, "Was you on time?" You look your boss in the eye, you say, "Yeah, you just lied." You don't think that big deal. Hey, it's my, whatever.
Right.
You lied. say in that instant or the next instant, you get hit by a bus and you die. Mm. You didn't get to repent from that sin. Or you didn't get to repent. So now, because you lived your whole godly life, but you slipped up that one time,
you're going to hell.
Yeah, you're going to hell. So that logic doesn't make sense to me. Or you cut, or someone cuts you off in traffic, you cuss them out.
Right.
And then you get shot or something.
Right.
And you didn't have a chance to repent. What if you sinned and you didn't realize you sinned or didn't have a chance? Well, I'm gonna pray about it when I get home.
Right.
You don't make it home.
Right.
And then to me, that's the same exact thing that's saying the issues with suicide, because you didn't have a chance to repent. But so if you didn't have a chance to repent, if you could sin on something else. Mm-hmm. Another issue I have with that is like it's almost saying like your faith in Christ his grace isn't sufficient. He died for all sins. Right. Like when he died on the cross, he died for the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you believe he died on the cross for your sins, he didn't just die on the cross for the sins of people who were there 2,000 years ago with him. He died for the sins of those who weren't born at the time.
Right.
So therefore, if he already died for your sins and rose up, and so you could be forgiven when you accept him for as your Savior, you accepted that forgiveness that came right along with that. So you're already forgiven. So don't walk around here. Yeah, if you fall, it's going to strain your relationship. Yes, but falling does not send you to hell, people. If you don't repent, it doesn't send you to hell in a sense.
And you're going to fall. You're not perfect. God did not make any of us perfect, so you are going
to
fall.
And that's why we have grace, because it is a learning curve. We have to grow. We have to be delivered. We have to grow in our faith. We have to grow and learn to deprogram ourselves from the life we was once living. All right, so now I'm going to go to a scripture right here. This is coming from Luke 24, and it looks like 47 going by my handwriting. So it says Christ is in red. It says, I'm going to start at 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. All right. The word I want to go with here is remission.
Okay.
Because we all hung up on the repentance part, repenting from your sins, okay? Mm-hmm. But the actual definition of remission, because when they're talking about preaching the gospel of Christ at this point, they're talking about preaching repentance, turning away from your sins, thinking like Christ, accepting Christ as your Savior. But the word I want to zero in on here is remission. The actual definition of remission is exempt. It means the offenses are over. Remission means literally remission of sins means your sins are no longer holding you back.
Right.
You're exempt. It's taken care of. So it's no longer held against. That's what exempt means, people. So that moment right there, God, if Jesus himself is telling you to repent and then teach repentance and remission of sins, that means it's already covered. Mm-hmm. Remission means that you're exempt. You're exempt from the consequences, which in that case would be, I'm talking about spiritual consequences, eternal consequences would be in hell. If you sin, you might be forgiven by Christ, but that doesn't mean you're exempt from consequences here on this planet. If you kill somebody and Christ forgive you, you still can go to jail for that.
Right.
You still can get killed from that if retaliation happens. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's not held against you in a sense you won't get to go to heaven because of that if you truly repent and accept Christ, and that's where the remission of sins comes in. But now I'm going to go to one more scripture, and then that's going to be it for me as far as the scriptures go. Okay. I'm going to go to Romans 5, 1 and 2. That's Romans 5, 1 and 2. And I'm going to read Romans 5, 1 and 2. Then I'm going to read Romans 5, 8 through 11. All right? So Romans 5, verse 1. And through 2 says, Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God. All right. Then I'm gonna go through 8 through 11. This is the meat right here. I'm getting that. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. See what I'm saying is God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice. We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Atonement means reconciliation, remission. Exactly. So it's forgiven, people. That means right then and there, it is finished. So once you're forgiven for your sins, they are forgiven. Now, repentance means changing your heart, constantly changing your heart, reminding yourself to walk in the way Christ walked. Doesn't mean you have to repent every time you sin. That's not what it's saying here. So understand that, people. So by those scriptures that I've studied, and by my understandings and by the logic combined with all this stuff, in my opinion, through my studies, I'm fairly convinced that that suicide would not send you to hell. Based on God's grace and God, Jesus' grace is sufficient. Now, he died on the cross for our sins while we were yet sinners. So he knew we were going to sin. He knows what sins we're going to commit. In order for him to even pay the penalty, he had to die for all the sins of the world.
Okay, I mean, that's a lot.
Pre, post, all current sins.
Current
sins. So all, in order for the debt to be fully paid, that means he had to die for every single sin to be committed. That's what I'm trying to get y'all to understand, people who are talking about repentance constantly. That's what I'm saying. So therefore, I don't find any biblical evidence to support that committing suicide will send someone directly to hell. There's no sin that will lead you straight to hell other than blaspheming the Holy Spirit, according to the scriptures. But I want to say, even though suicide is not sending people to hell, per se, I am no way endorsing or encouraging suicide. Matter of fact, can I get that number again? Yeah, because I want to put this out there, because, you know, if people are listening, you know, I know it's an interesting topic, but I know people are listening because some people deal with depressed people in their family, and people deal with suicidal thoughts. So I want to put this number out there one more time, man.
That number is 1-877-743-4672. That is 1-877-743-4672. The other number is a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's available 24 hours a day. Both numbers are. This number is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255.
Thank you for that. So that, call those numbers if you're struggling. If you know someone struggling, call those numbers. It can save your life or the life of a loved one. There's no shame in that. We all, like I said, people go through hard times. It's a hard world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my sum up is this. Repentance means to turn away from sin. The one you get before you get saved. Repentance means to turn away from sinful ways and focus on the things of the kingdom. That, stop living for oneself. That takes place. That has to take place in order for your heart to change. Because if you can't change your mindset, it won't change your heart. That's what I'm talking about. It takes that to be saved. To maintain salvation, live like Christ. And when it's talking about repentance later, it's talking about just constantly reminding yourself to think like Christ. Constantly reminding, not constantly forgiving or asking for forgiveness for something you've been forgiven for. End of the day, he died for us before we were born, which means our debt is paid. His grace is sufficient. That's all I got on that.
Now, you are supposed to ask for forgiveness or repent daily. And it's actually in the model prayer. It's not "Our Father who art in heaven." That is not the model prayer. The actual real model prayer is John 17, 1 through 3. And it's a five-step
read
way. I'm going to read this. If a number of Christians were asked to repeat the Lord's Prayer, some might begin, "Now I lay me down to sleep." But the most would say, "Our Father which art in heaven."
Yeah.
And this is universally called the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it's not. The Lord's Prayer at all, we actually were taught this about three months ago in Bible study.
It's new to me.
Actually, it is not the Lord's Prayer at all. It is the disciples' prayer. It is the prayer the Lord gave us to pray, but the true Lord's Prayer is in John 17. It has been called the Holies of Holies of the New Testament. For in the shadow of the cross, our Lord gathers with his disciples in the upper room, and in their presence prays with them unto the Father. Now, it goes into all three steps, but there's five steps. And the first prayer, the first part of the step is to acknowledge God. Acknowledge like God, like acknowledge who he is, like how my pastor said, God likes to be pampered.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, he likes to be taught. He likes to be boasted about. You know what I'm saying? So
that's actually part of worship. It's actually acknowledging God for who he is.
Yeah, exactly. So it's actually the first thing in the prayer that you do is, example would be, God, I thank you. God, you are so awesome. You're so beautiful. You're so amazing. You created the trees and the earth. You know, you are Alpha and Omega. You know, the second part is immediately going into, Father God, forgive me for the things I have seen and done that is unpleasing to your eyes.
So
and
what you're
ears.
Doing, you're, what it sounds like, I don't mean to cut you off because
go ahead.
I agree, and I think what you're doing, you're breaking apart the Lord's Prayer for what it actually is.
Exactly.
There's a step, like when you said the acknowledgement, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," which means your name is holy.
Right.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, keep going, man. This is good.
Okay.
That's what's taking place during the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, exactly.
acknowledgement, repentance, and asking forgiveness.
Acknowledgement, repentance, you know, forgive. I say repentance slash forgiveness.
Yeah.
And then recognizing or acknowledging His grace and His mercy. Mm-hmm. And recognizes, acknowledge Him, repentance, His grace and His mercy. Always praying for His people, His lost.
Mm-hmm.
As a part of prayer. Of course, that,
yeah, of course.
His disciples, that's what, yes, He gave them, you know. Yeah. They're always supposed to, even if you're praying for you or someone else, the lost is always supposed to be included, yeah, in His prayer. And then the last thing is whatever you initially came to Him to pray for.
There you go. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I was taught that too.
Yeah, so it's
can you get a scripture where that's
it's John 17:1-3, and I had up my Bible app out. I'm going to read it from the King James Version just because that's what most people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to mess people up by reading them
from
what I like to read. I like to read the Message. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this eternal life, that may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with glory, which I had with You before the world was." Now, I would have to literally pull out my notes to like do an ultimate dissecting. But
send them to the scripture and
yeah,
read, just let them know the scripture again. We'll
the scripture is John 17:1-3.
Mm-hmm.
I would implore you to read all the way up. Read one. Matter of fact, read the entire chapter because Jesus is literally talking the entire chapter. Mm-hmm. It's not. Nobody else wrote this. Not the Peter or John or Luke, Paul. Nobody wrote this. This is actually Jesus, Yeshua the Christ, speaking to His Father. The mm-hmm. entire scripture, and it breaks down what He's meaning when He wants people to pray to Him, because
mm-hmm.
He pretty much gave an example of how He wants the world to pray to our Father. Because
yeah.
he was pretty much being an example of how it is that you ought to pray. So it's,
yeah.
you know, and like I said, I don't know how the world got caught up with "Our Father, how be thy name," but shoot, I used to say it growing up. You know, I thought that was the Lord's Prayer. You know, so it's one. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I want people to think that it's something wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
It's a misterminology. It's a great prayer. And
there
it's great.
You go.
Because what it comes down to with that prayer there, it's the attributes that Christ is trying to get us to understand. It wasn't, I mean, you can say the Lord's Prayer, but it's the attributes you're giving God. It's a formula. That's what I'm trying to say.
There
it's
you
a
go.
Formula.
And that's the word we were taught. It's a formula
it's a
of
formula.
How you pray.
Yeah.
And God does look for that formula.
Yes.
Like, I think it is okay. I think God looks at the intent. Like, if you're in a rush or something like that, and you just want to say something to Him right quick, you can. Somehow, but He does want that formula, you know what I'm saying? And that formula is dear to Him. I believe. If it wasn't, why would He have a formula already set out for us to
that's
pray?
The point. And Christ was the example, so He gave us. So here you
exactly,
go.
Exactly.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up real quick, but I want to make sure I was clear.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that asking forgiveness, you should not ask for forgiveness once you've been saved. You should constantly ask for forgiveness, like if you mess up, you're in a relationship, so you want to ask for forgiveness. I'm just saying asking for forgiveness is not necessary to maintain the salvation that was already given to you once you accepted Christ. But
there
yes,
you
you're in a relationship, and when you do sin, it does strain your relationship with God. It does hurt in the Holy Spirit. I feel it when I sin. It's conviction, and I can feel the hurt sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So either way it goes, you don't want to do anything to hurt God or hurt your relationship. So yeah, if you sin, of course, repent and ask for forgiveness. But repentance and ask for forgiveness does not help maintain your salvation because it's already given to you, and it says it's given by grace, not by our works.
Right.
So there you go.
Right.
That's my opinion and my understandings. If you feel differently, yo, please
hit us up. Let us know.
FrostTalkPodcast@gmail.com.
Right. Now, I want to just, if anybody wants to go to this website where the brother does this, his name is Ray Stedman. He does a very, very, very detailed breakdown of John the 17th chapter. And his website is www.ray.com. Stedman.org. That's RaystedMan.org. And there you have it, man. We got some new listeners.
Yes, it's time to do the shout-outs, people.
All right.
All right, so I got to give it up again for you know who's in the number one spot.
Tokyo.
Tokyo is always with us, man. We love you guys again. We can't say it enough. Thank you. Hit us up. We want you on the show. We want to talk to you.
We're going to do something special with Tokyo. We're going to do at least like a 10, 15-minute start of our show on Tokyo until we hear somebody.
We need to, we got to do something. All right, so quick, shout-outs to the United States of America. That's where we are. So that home team showing us love.
All right, home team.
Germany showing us love. Thank you, Germany. Japan is still with us, rocking number one spot. You know, I'm going to say this real quick, man. When I look at the website and see the listeners when we release an episode, I can see who listened first. Most of the time, if not all the time, Tokyo is the first one to listen. If they're not, they're right second under someone else. Right second, but it's usually Tokyo. Wow. So Tokyo, we love you guys. Thank you for loving on us.
Yes,
and I know if you're listening, you're praying for us. So thank you so much. But anyway, shout out to Tokyo. Shout out to Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Yeah.
Shout out to Millsville / Gray, my mama down there. Hey, Gray, watch or listening to us. Thank you for Forest Park, Georgia. Medina, Georgia. Fayetteville, Georgia. Smyrna, Georgia listening. I don't know who that is, but, man, thank you for tuning in. Jonesboro, Georgia's tuned in. We got a lot of love from...
stepping up.
Yes, and I love the fact that Clayton County's repping. That's where we house our show right now.
Yeah,
that's my home. That's my home area, Clayton County. So thank you, Clayton County, for showing the love. And I got other cities on here. I can't even tell you the name, how to pronounce it, but I'm going to attempt it. It looks like it says Harlem, Nord Holland.
Okay.
And I looked that up on Google. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but that's in the Netherlands. So shout out to the Netherlands for tuning in.
We love you. Netherlands. We love y'all too.
And these cities are getting harder and harder to pronounce. So I know we're reaching further and further away. So thank you for everyone that's tuned in. Thank you for the prayers you sent. Continue to keep us in your prayers.
Yes.
Like I said, hit us up if you got any comments, complaints, topics you want to do. You know, we're here for you.
Yes.
Hit us up. CrossTalkPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, if you didn't catch this live, it's always on crosstalk.buzzsprout.com. You can catch all 15 episodes at any given moment. Listen to them while you're in the gym, on your way to work, wherever you got to do it. Get it in. We love you guys. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
This is Cross Talk
Radio.
Peace.